Great, and if you would, we're going to go ahead and begin our message right now. So go ahead and pull out your message notes. On the top, they say the foundation. They look like this, and you can use this to follow along as we go into our Bible message. Let me pray for us. Oh God, we're so grateful for this wonderful celebration. We're grateful that you are a good God and that you don't have us here just to go through the motions, but you have something very special for us. So God, I pray as we hear your word today, as we go out and celebrate the baptisms, that we would just know you better, that we would leave here changed, that we would love you more and know how much you love us. God, we know you're here and we just want to say thank you so much. And we pray all this in your good name. Amen. Well, for those of you just joining us, you're coming in at a great time because we started last week a new series called The 10 Practices of Effective Families. Now, a little inside joke for our church is if you look at some of the emails and the stuff again, sometimes I call it the 10 Principles of Effective Families and 10 Practices because I get confused. So we're going to land on the 10 Practices of Effective Families. Last week we had an introduction to why these 10 practices are so important. Today we get to start with our first one. It's the foundation of the practices. And when Jesus was asked what are the two most important commandments, what he said is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the question is, well, how do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And part of these 10 principles, 10 commandments we're going to look at, the first four answer the how question. They answer the question of how do we love God more? And the first thing that we read when God says, here's the first practice, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's the top of your outline. In fact, let's read that out loud together. Ready? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, just to break this down a little bit, we want to talk about what do gods mean. This is gods with a small g. Gods are something that we hold very important, and we devote our life to it. It's something or someone to which we give our primary focus and loyalty. Something we give our primary focus and loyalty. In other words, you know, back in the day, people would have gods carved out of little statues and they would bow down and worship them. We don't do that as much in our culture that way, but we do have other gods. It's anything that we hold super important and devote our total life to. That's what that means. Now, whenever you put something or someone as more important or in front of God, that's called idolatry. So idolatry is when you put something or someone in front of God. That's what the word idolatry means. That there is something out there in our lives that's more important to us than God. So if you do that, you have idols and so do I. There's a pastor named Mark Driscoll was once traveling to India. Visiting some Christians out there, and he said something, he told a story that was very interesting. He went to this country, and he was walking along the streets, and he saw all these little idols, little statues along the street. They were sacrificing to them, praying to them, worshiping them, hoping that they would change the weather, and he thought, man, this place is full of idols. Well, he talked to his Christian friend from India, and he asked her, now, have you ever visited the United States? And she said, yeah, I've been there once or twice. He said, well, what do you think? She's like, I don't like the United States at all. And he was shocked. Why? He says, because of all their idols. And Mark's looking around, looking at all these little statues, thinking, you're complaining about idols in our country? She goes, yeah, you guys have so many idols. You idolize your celebrities. You idolize your athletes. You idolize food. You idolize your family. You idolize sex. You guys idolize money. You guys idolize relationships. You guys idolize all your achievements. And Mark's listening to her thing. She just described American culture. We are a country of idols. We put a lot of things in front of God. There's a lot of things we worship. And here's what I want you to know. That idolatry is not just one sin of many. But it is the sin. Idolatry is the root of all sins in your life. Idolatry is the root of all sins in your life. We're not going to look at it because we're short on time, but in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul's writing to this church, and he talks about how the Israelites, after they received these 10 practices from God, how they actually stopped, how they kept sinning. They did all these things. They messed up sexually. They did all kinds of things. And he ends this section with saying, if you want to live right with God, avoid all idolatry. And what he's saying is all these things that people do to mess up, the root of it, the root of all sins, is idolatry. If you never break this first commandment, of having no other gods before me, if you never break that, then you'll take care of all other sins in your life. It's the root. It's the root. The real issue isn't that you have other sins. The real issue is that you and I are idolaters. And that changes everything. Because in some ways we think, hey, if I want to become a better person, it's like having a tree with bad fruit. I'll just get rid of the bad fruit. But we forget that the tree is the issue. That's the root of all our sin. So it's not just about, when God says, it's not just about doing the right things and avoiding the wrong things. The root of it is, it's your idolatry that leads you into sin. You may think, hey, I'm a Christian. I've been Christian for years. I don't have idols in your life, in my life. And I want to say, yeah, you probably do. And so do I. You have gods that you worship. Things or people you put your faith in. Saviors you go to for security and hope. And so idolatry is not just one sin of many, but it is the sin that underlies all other sins. To understand this, we need to understand some biblical history. And I just want to share a little story of idolatry so you understand where this all comes from. The Bible says that God made all of us. And He made us to love Him, to worship Him, to have a strong relationship with Him, to enjoy Him. And God also made the universe for us to enjoy, for us to be in charge of, for us to just really enjoy and celebrate it. He made things for us. But our spiritual ancestors, Adam and Eve, blew it. They sinned. And the thing is, we are all made to worship God. We're all made to worship. But when they blew it, something happened. Instead of us worshiping God, we began to worship the things God created. And ended up worshiping the created rather than the creator. In other words, when we sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, we didn't stop becoming worshipers. We just switched what we worshipped. We were meant to worship God. But something went awry and we began to worship people and things. And they became our gods. The word worship means holding something in the highest esteem and devoting your life to it. A person or a thing. We devote ourselves to created things. A person. We devote ourselves to a job, a car, a hobby, a sport, a home, a lawn, a pet, an education, our appearance. We have idols, and we devote our time to it, our energy to it, our money to it. They become our practical and functional God. Your car, football, your work, your children, your family, your computer, your video games. Now, I just want to say, none of these things are bad. These are things that God created, but we've made gods out of good things. The good has become God, and therefore they end up taking life from us because we were wired to worship God. Now, I want you to notice that when God says, here are the keys to living a life for an effective community, an effective family, the first key He gives isn't a do or don't. It's all about who you worship. That's the first key. If you want to have an effective family, the first thing you need to ask is, who am I worshiping or what am I worshiping? Because that affects everything. God wants to ask you, what or who do you worship? The interesting thing is, even atheists are worshipers. You know, atheists don't believe in God, but they're worshiping something. They might give their minds and thought and talents to their mind, their car, to their hobbies. All of us are worshipers. It doesn't matter what you believe, that God created you as someone who wants to worship something. So the point here is that we are all incredibly spiritual. All of us are incredibly spiritual. We're all constantly worshiping. We're all making something first in our life, giving ourselves to things that were created rather than creator. We've taken a good thing and made it a God thing. Another way to think about it is we all define for ourselves a mini hell. And let me explain what I mean by that. We all define for ourselves like, man, this would be the worst thing that could ever happen to me in this life. This is like my worst dream for my life. And we create this mini hell of what that is. You know, and so to get out of that hell, you create a mini savior who will take you to your mini heaven. And what I mean to that, so you live yourself totally for that savior. You give your time, energy, and money. For example, your little hell might be not getting married. the deep fear of if I lived this life and never got married, that would be hell for me right now. That's your mini hell. And so your mini savior becomes your future spouse. You will do whatever you can to find that spouse. And when you find that person, you will cling to that person because that person has become your mini savior to give you mini heaven. Make sense? Whatever you define as your mini hell begins to define what your idol is going to be. And the problem is, let's say you get your mini savior. They never measure up to what you really need. It may tickle for a little while, but you're going to get frustrated because they're not God. Or you never get your mini savior and you're angry the rest of your life because God never gave you the savior that you feel like you deserve. We create these idols that we believe will be our mini saviors. And in fact, our hearts are idol factories. We just make them over and over and over again. We take good things and we turn them into idols. And we get frustrated when they don't save us. Idolatry is the pursuit of something that is normally otherwise good. The problem, again, is that we've made them God. Idolatry also is a slavery to something we love. We don't become idols to things we hate. We become idols to things we actually love. And what happens is when we worship something that's created, God made it so that we were in charge of creation, but when we worship creation, whatever is created becomes in charge of us. And we become a slave to whatever we worship. How does this apply to family? Because if you or I put something other than God as our primary object of worship, it will break apart our relationship with people. But Jesus says he's here to redeem and to heal. So what I want to talk about is what's the solution to our idolatry? What do we do about this? We're all idolaters. I include myself in this. What do we do practically to free ourselves and worship God alone? The first step, this is in your outline if you're taking notes, is to recognize your idols. To recognize your idols. First of all, recognize that we're all idolaters. And we have to recognize and name our gods. The problem for most of us is it's really hard to recognize what we worship because it's just so much part of our culture. You know, we live in a society that the way our economy survives is if people buy things. You guys know that? If people stop buying things, our country's in trouble. Well, what happens when you have everything you already need? Well, you have to advertise in such a way that people think that you don't, right? And so if you look at your commercials or TV advertisements, all of them are saying, you have this problem in your life, this is what will take care of it. You're lonely, it's Miller time, right? You're lonely, here's a dating service that will take care of you. You're overweight, here's a diet drink that will save you, that will take care of all your problems. But marketing appeals to our desires for salvation and puts a product in its place. And we don't even realize it because it's so part of our culture that we set up these things and don't even know. So what I want to do is help you think through, what are your idols? And I ask myself these questions too. In fact, I'll share a little bit. This has been a tough week for me because I realize that there's a lot that God is still weaning out of me. Now, my intent is not to make you uncomfortable, but these questions are fairly probing. So I left a lot of blank space for you in your outline. Just to write down some answers to these questions. You're not going to turn these in. You know, if you need to write in code so your friend doesn't see you, that's okay. But as I ask these questions, just reflect between you and God. And the question you're trying to answer is, what are the idols I worship? You guys ready for the questions? Uh-oh, are you guys ready for questions? All right, okay, strangely silent in the room. Here we go. First question, what are you afraid of? What is your greatest fear? The reason I ask that is that probably tells you what your idol is. If your greatest fear is being alone, your idol will be other people or a spouse or family or whatever it takes to make it so that you're not alone. If your greatest fear is being in a job that goes nowhere and having no work significance, your idol is probably success. Or desire to do really well in a job or your job. What are you most afraid of? What's your greatest fear? That's a sign. That's a hint as to what you might be worshiping. Second question. What do you long for most passionately? What do you long for most passionately? Perhaps it's a, you know, what do you think about? What are you excited about? Perhaps it's a music band. You just follow them. Or it's a sport. Again, none of these things are bad things, right? but we make them God things, and that's where they go bad. Perhaps it's a sport or a relationship. Or maybe a hobby that you think about all the time. You're passionate about that. Or education. Or maybe it's your looks. You want to look really good. That's what you're most passionate about. Could be your idol. Next question. Who or what do you run to for comfort? Who or what do you run to for comfort? For some of us, it's our fridge. And we idolize food. Others, it's alcohol or drugs. Maybe it's sex. Or anger. Or you run to just being in despair. Or perhaps medication. Nothing wrong with medication, but that's where you go first. Perhaps it's video games. Where do you go for comfort? That's a sign. It's a hint as to what might be center of your life, what your idol is. Next question. What do you complain about the most? What do you complain about the most? If you're always complaining about your job, maybe your job's your idol. If you're always complaining about your kids, maybe your kids are your idol. Always complain about your spouse. Maybe your husband or wife is your idol. Maybe it's your job. You want people to respect you. You want to be a good, you know, and they're not respecting you, so you complain. You want to be a good parent, but your kids aren't cooperating. You want your wife to adore you, but she doesn't. What do you complain about the most? Because if it's not happening, it's frustrating and you're not being saved. And that's your idol. Another question. What angers me the most? What angers you the most? What gets you really angry? You know, perhaps you're the person that, you know, you're driving and someone cuts you off in traffic and your blood just boils, right? Because what's important for you is respect. Excuse me, I got a new mic. I just want to make sure this stays on. Perhaps it's respect. And someone disrespects you and you get angry because your reputation is your idol. Another question. What makes me happiest? What makes me happiest? Again, idols are good things that have become God things. But that might be a hint as to what you center your life around. Next question, what are you angry with God about? What's happened in your life, or what is happening in your life that you're angry about right now? You know, I want to be rich, and I'm poor. I want to be married, and I'm not. I want to have 4 kids, and I don't. I want to be successful, and I'm not. God, you failed me. You know, God may be withholding something from you because he's not going to give you a little God to save you. He wants you to turn to him. Another question. What do I brag about? What do I go around and just brag to people about? It's usually connected to your idol. By way of confession, I brag about this church a lot because I love you guys. But sometimes that becomes my idol. That's where I base my worth. I center so much time around. What do I want to have more than anything else? What do I want to have more than anything else? Is it a great family? Is it a great job? Is it a big house? A couple more, and then we'll finish. Is it getting awkward in here? How are you guys doing? Strangely silent. If I can change one thing in my life, what would it be? If I can change one thing in my life, what would it be? A couple more questions. Whose approval am I seeking? Who do I look for approval? That person might be an idol in your life. Finally, what possession do I treasure the most? What thing do I own that I just treasure the most? I put a lot of time, energy, and money into. Again, that could be your idol. The first step, if you want to overcome your idolatry and not worship the created things, but worship the Creator, is to first name and acknowledge your idols. Just get real about it. Become honest. Say, this is it, God. This, and this are my idols. You know, I never know how much to share up front, but I'll go ahead and share this, and if you guys want to make fun of me later, you can. But one of my idols and I just, because I was preparing this week, and you know, I just was looking at my life, is my iPhone. I go to this for comfort. Whenever I'm bored or stressed, there's always a little game to play or something to check on the internet or some email to check. Thank you, another person, yeah. I'm on this thing a lot. I am on this thing a lot more than I care to admit. It's a little embarrassing how much I'm on this. At home, dinner time, after dinner, I had a hard day, so I just want to go veg. I go and play games on this thing while my kids are running around without their daddy playing with them because I have my idol. My wife wants to connect, but I have my idol. And so my wife, Becky, and I talked this week about some changes I need to make about this. And what we're going to do is when I come home, I put this away in a drawer, and it's done for the rest of the day until I go to work the next day. And I need to let go of my idol. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I didn't expect to get applause, but thank you. Yeah. Which leads to my next point. If you want to get rid of your idolatry, you need to repent and recenter on God. That's the next point in your outline. You need to repent and recenter on God. Repent means to turn from your ways. It's to change your mind, to realize, you know what? The way I've been living with this God isn't working for me. So I'm going to change my mind about how helpful this is. That's what repentance means. And to recenter on God. You can't just get rid of something to worship. You are a worshiper, whether or not you like it. You will worship something or someone. So it's not just about getting rid of your idols, but replacing that with a true God. The God who created everything. If you don't replace your idolatry with God, you're just going to go worship. You'll find something else to fill in the blank. Because you and I are worshipers. That's what we do. So what do I do to make God central? Repent. Confess to Jesus your God. Let Jesus be honest with Jesus about, these are my gods, God. I repent and I want to break. In the Old Testament, God would tell people to break their idols. They would actually go out and destroy them. Because they were a competition to the true God. I already shared about my iPhone. There's a trend to my idols. They're all technology related. But when I was first married, this was when, this just ages me. But, you know, when I was first married, the big deal was to get on the internet. You know, you used to have to dial up to get on the internet. Do you guys remember that? And some of you still have that. And now it's like constant. Well, you know, we switched from dial up to like whatever it was, cable or, you know, DSL. So we had full 100%, you know, internet connection. So my first year of marriage would be, never going to bed with my wife because I'd be up on the computer on this newfound internet thing. And again, realized this was an idol in my life, so we downgraded to dial up for a good year or two just so I could spend some time with my wife. But the point is, you need to find out what your idols are and break them, repent of them, get rid of them, so you begin to worship God. You want to replace. Worship Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You can't just stop what you're doing because you are a worshiper. You can't just stop worshiping. If you get an idol and you find it's not satisfying, you're just going to replace it with another idol. So you need to replace it with God. And finally, I just want to say, we need to rejoice when we recenter on God. If we don't raise our hands to Jesus, we're going to worship something else that will hurt us. God gave this as the first commandment because it's the root of everything. If you get this right, everything else falls into place. Who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? If you get it right and follow his commandment, you shall have no gods before the God who created. It will clear the way for everything else in your family. And so that's why, God, this is the first step. If you want to have an effective family, this is the first step. The key to keeping ourselves from idols that lead further into sin is to repent of our idols and worship Jesus alone as our highest treasure, as our greatest joy, and the only God. That enables us to rule over creation and created things rather than the created things ruling over us. And that way we're worshiping as we were meant to worship, rightly placing God the Creator over creation, which brings us the greatest joy, the greatest freedom, and the greatest satisfaction. Then we can go to McDonald's and eat, but not have our God be our belly. We can work, but not sacrifice our family and our soul for work, because work isn't our idol anymore. It's something that is good that God gave us, but it doesn't control us anymore, because we worship the most important person, God in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we just thank you that you set us a foundation right from the beginning, that we are to worship you and you alone. And God, I know that people here just like me have other things that we put in place of you. We put other things first. And so, God, we ask that we would repent of those things and recenter on you. And, Lord, there are people here who perhaps for the first time are realizing that they have things that they worship other than you. And, God, though it may be uncomfortable, I'm really happy for that because it's the first step to freedom. So, God, will your Spirit, I pray that your Spirit would be with those people. God, they would be open to letting go of those idols and becoming a worshiper of you. In fact, if you're here right now, and you're sitting here and you're just realizing for the first time, or perhaps you've realized it for a long time, that you have idols in your life and you need to repent of them, I want to just give you an opportunity to pray that with me right now. Perhaps it's the first time you're praying this, or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you want to pray this. So with your eyes closed, just repeat after me, between you and God, you don't have to do that loud, this prayer of repentance. Say, God, I've put other things of more important than you. And God, I'm tired of it. God, the things I put in front of you actually enslave me and they don't give me freedom. Will you forgive me? God, this is brand new for me, but I want to put you as center in my life. I want to make you my God. I want to have you as my primary focus. I want to be loyal to you. God, thank you for forgiving me. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will change me from the inside. In your good name I pray. Amen. Amen.